Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCC AM Buffalo, WDCX AM Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester, and WDCD Albany.
This is Lifeline with Neil Borah on WDCX. No matter where you're listening, Neil Borah gets you to the heart of the conversation, the epicenter of what's going on. In Western New York, Southern Ontario, or around the world, join us at 1-800-684-2848 or 716-883-5000. Now, here's Neil Borah, live.
Hey, good to have you with us on a Monday edition of Lifeline, a brand new week, and that means a whole bunch of opportunity in front of us. And, of course, that's true every morning when the sun comes up. In fact, I saw a friend post something similar on Facebook this morning, but the reality is, according to Lamentations chapter 3, is that God's mercy is new every single morning, and that we have great hope in Him and in His promises, because He always makes good on His promises. And so we've got a lot of reason to celebrate today, even though there's been some tough headlines over the weekend, a mall shooting in the state of Washington, several shootings in the U.S., also a Jordanian writer, a journalist shot in front of a Jordanian courthouse earlier today. It's unbelievable the amount of violence that's occurring in our world today. And yet, we know the answer to all of it lies in the person of Jesus Christ. And that may just seem like a cliche, you know, cop-out, but it really isn't, because ultimately, all sin, all brokenness, all confusion points back to the condition of the human heart, and only Jesus can change us from the inside out. So it's why we keep Him central in our conversation, and definitely hope that you'll be praying for the conversations we have here on Lifeline, because the goal is to continue, in the midst of talking about real life issues, to point people back to Jesus. And so we're going to do that, and got a lot of stuff scheduled for conversation today, but let me just say Zach Mann is out. He's got a vacation day. Usually you say a well-deserved vacation day. I'm gonna withhold comment on this, all right? But the Zach Man is out, and he's enjoying a vacation day with his wife, Melissa, Missy Schwooz. And so I hope they're having a wonderful time, even as we speak. Josh Maya is filling in on the board today, so we got the Josh. He's our producer today, and loving that. So lots of ground to cover. I mentioned that earlier. Last hour, I'm going to set some time aside. We'll see how it goes, but I'm planning to set some time aside for conversation about tonight's debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Tensions continue to rise as the debate draws near, and as polls continue to draw tighter and tighter. Looks now like, in some cases, some are saying it's a dead heat in terms of who our next president in the U.S. will be. You know, Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. So we're going to talk about some of those things a little bit later. And, you know, I'll reserve comment on that until we have a chance to talk about it later. But I'm very much excited about what's going to be happening during the first part of our program, because it is in the wheelhouse of what I believe Christians ought to be concerned about on a daily basis. It has to do with loving and caring for people that are hurting. And when I say wheelhouse, some of you might not know that term, but in a baseball sense, it means putting the ball in the place where the home run hitter can knock it out of the park. It is, it's the place the pitcher doesn't want to throw the ball when you're facing a dangerous batter who has the ability to hit home runs at will. So why would I say such a thing? Because I believe that we have a wheelhouse as believers, and that is about expressing unconditional love to those who need to see it. Why? Because we ourselves are recipients of God's unconditional love. And having experienced it, having felt something of God's love and forgiveness and His care and His tenderness and His mercy in our own lives, we are in a good place to be able to help share some of that with others. And ultimately, as believers in Jesus, as ambassadors in His kingdom, we become conduits of that unconditional love. We become the vehicle by which God delivers that love to others, right? We love because He first loved us. And we love Him, and we love others. And of course, what did Jesus say? He wanted us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That kind of love, that kind of focus on love, that, you know, living in the in the realm of love and being concerned about that on a regular basis is what God's word is all about. It's why he's transformed us and in the process of transforming us, and we can put it into practice. But we're going to do that in the context of talking about cancer, and heard some amazing statistics about cancer just this past weekend. And one of them had to do with the fact, I'll bring it up again later, but that one in every two men, unless they die before a certain age, unless they die before, the expected age of death, one in two men will encounter cancer in their lives, one in three women, and three out of every four families will be affected by cancer. So we're going to talk about some of that with Pastor Pat Kleitz. He's the pastor at Crossroads Christian Church in East Aurora, New York, and brought a special guest with him as well. We're going to have a chance to meet two different cancer survivors and enjoy some conversation in talking about where Jesus is in the midst of a cancer diagnosis. And talk about getting your world turned upside down or experiencing what Pat Kleitz called a bend in the road. We're gonna talk about that openly and honestly. Now, he's put together a study guide, a curriculum to begin to address some of these issues in people's lives. If I'm not mistaken, Pastor Pat is a three-time cancer survivor. And joining us in studio today, Michelle Becker as well. So looking forward to talking about the C word openly and honestly. And the reality is, if one in two men and one in three women experience cancer, either you have experienced cancer directly or somebody you know has. So this is going to be an incredibly pertinent conversation, and we're going to get a chance to talk about what a Christian ought to do when the C word raises its ugly head. So I hope you can be around for it, and we will discuss in detail the book called Life's Bend in the Road from Pat Kleitz, and it's a book that he put together with Michelle Becker and Tammy Castellana. All right, so that's where we're headed. I also want to mention, if you haven't done it yet, please do so. Get to our website, WDCXradio.com. And click on the banner that you'll see there, the ad that comes up for Alistair Begg's brand new book called Name Above All Names. It's a book that he wrote together with Sinclair Ferguson, and the reason I point that out to you is because it's available for free. There's a companion study guide that goes along with it, but many of you enjoy the teaching ministry of Alistair Begg. And he's on daily here on WDCX at 9 weekday mornings with Truth for Life. Some of you are regular listeners to the program, but what a dynamic Bible teacher, an incredible brother in Christ. He and Sinclair Ferguson put together this book called Name Above All Names, and it's yours for free, but you just have to go to the WDCX website. It's the only place you can get it, and time is limited. So we're just wanting to get as many of these books out as possible. Don't wait. Go to WDCXradio.com, click on the Alistair Begg banner that you see right there, and then, you know, sign up to get your book. In fact, there's a big yellow H-E-R-E button. It says click here to receive your free download of the Name Above All Names book from Alistair Begg and Sinclair Ferguson. That's a nice, bright, yellow word here. Josh Myers, I just want to thank you, our IT guy extraordinaire. That's awesome. You can't miss it. Yeah, get your book and do it soon. It's the last opportunity is this week, and we don't want you to forget. If you're a procrastinator, you know, you may lose out, so don't wait. There's no strings attached. We just want to put it in your hands, but it's the only way you can get it, and it's a special offer from Alistair Begg and the people at Truth for Life, and it's exclusively through WDCX, so how cool is that? All right, WDCXradio.com is the place. You'll see click here to receive your free book, and you can do that. Very simply. It's super simple. All right. Lord, we pray for your blessing on our conversation today. We've got a lot of things to talk about in context, and we're going to be talking with a lot of folks, I think, whose lives have been affected by cancer. We're going to learn some things by listening to the heart of one another on this issue. Later, when we talk about the presidential debate and the upcoming election, I pray you'd continue to sharpen us. And as our iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But God, we can't share things that are of benefit unless you're a part of the conversation. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and be a part of our conversation on Lifeline today. Build us, change us, transform us for your glory, I pray. But take control, because we give this time to you to be used for your purpose. This is your time, and we'll follow your lead. Thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, back with a Monday edition of Lifeline. Got some things I want to play for you. Little excerpts from the video called Life's Bend in the Road. There's a companion study guide. We're going to talk about it momentarily here with Pastor Pat Kleitz and Michelle Becker when Lifeline continues.
Addicted to Lifeline and the support group isn't working? I know. I know.
So here's the deal. We're going to have an opportunity to talk about life's bend in the road, and that bend is cancer. But there's always hope, and that's going to be the focus of the conversation today when Pastor Pat Kleitz joins us, along with another cancer survivor named Michelle Becker, and we're going to look forward to seeing what they have to say. But all of this kind of revolving around a video curriculum and a companion study guide in a book called Life's Bend in the Road. It's from Pastor Pat Kleitz of Crossroads Christian Church right here in Western New York, and also co-authored by Michelle Becker and Tammy Castellana. So I thought I would lift a couple of segments. They're fairly short, but this is from the actual video, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to hear what the video sounds like and get a feel for the direction they're taking in Life's Bend in the Road. So let's listen in.
Life is a journey, isn't it? We wake up in the morning with dreams and hopes, and then all of a sudden it happens. We hit a bend in the road and we never see it coming. At the age of 30 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer, and then again in my early 60s with prostate cancer. And then 1 year later, stage 4 bladder cancer. That's a bend in the road. When you or someone you love hits a bend in the road and their life turns upside down, you're at a point of need. On this journey, I've met some amazing people. Michelle Becker, Tammy Castellano, Dr. Darren Caparasso, Dr. Dave Doherty, Dr. Haber, Sue Giovino. In this 7-part series, you will meet them, and we'll discuss topics like everyone knows someone, why me? Talk about fear. We'll talk about treatment options and nutrition. We'll talk about how do I help. One thing that I've learned is this, is that there's always hope, and you can make a difference. You can be a voice of hope. Your words mixed with God's words can be His voice in someone's life, and you can be a voice of hope.
All right, so that's the intro to the video called Life's Bend in the Road, and as I mentioned, there's a companion study guide. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to get a chance to meet Pastor Pat Kleitz and one of the others that are featured here, a woman named Michelle Becker. She as well is a cancer survivor, and they have some pretty fascinating stories, but here's what I want you to do, because some of you know people who have cancer right now, or you know families affected by cancer, and I'd encourage you to go to your phone or however you can best reach someone, text them a message, tell them to tune in to WDCX Radio today, because we're going to be talking about how to face cancer in a godly way and how to experience God's hope in the midst of a cancer diagnosis. This is a really well thought out curriculum, a very godly approach, very biblical approach to dealing with this issue, and also provides wonderful opportunities for Christians to respond to others who've been affected by this disease and to do so in a way that would further the building of God's kingdom and provide people with encouragement and hope in the midst of a cancer diagnosis. So lots of ground to cover here. I hope you'll encourage others to listen in. When we come back, we'll hear one more short segment and then begin our conversation. But that's where we're headed on a Monday edition of Lifeline. So feel free to join us and encourage others to listen as well. And by the way, if they're out of town, you can tell them to listen by going to our website and live stream the program at WDCXradio.com.
Have you ever heard the incredible lineup of world-renowned Bible teachers we feature weekday mornings on WDCX? Check them out.
So we're getting ready to have a conversation about cancer and dealing with cancer, and I'm old enough to know that there was a time when people said, cancer. They wouldn't speak the word out loud, but we're going to kind of deal with the whole thing head-on today, because so many friends and loved ones and people in our community are directly affected by cancer. And that provides us with a wonderful opportunity in the body of Christ to be an encouragement and to be an assist to those who are affected. So I want to play another brief clip, this coming from the actual video itself and session one of the video. It's a 7-part series. The session's entitled, Everyone Knows Someone.
Everyone
One of the statistics that we found concerning cancer was that one out of two men are going to experience cancer, one out of three women, and that three out of four families will have someone in their family that has been diagnosed with cancer. I know for each one of us, we've experienced it ourselves firsthand. Bang, hit this bend in the road. It changes your life forever.
I did have the two experiences that I had with cancer, but more than that, what really motivated me is years ago, I had a friend who had of stage four esophagus cancer, and I really did all the wrong things. Pastor, I can count my regrets on one hand, and that's there. I look back and I think I downplayed his cancer. I thought I was making him feel better to say, oh, they must have hit, they've got it wrong. You'll be fine. Let's just, you know, let's go out to lunch.
Let's just eat and feel better.
Yeah, let's make him all better.
And you know, if I knew then what I know now, you know, all the things that I could have done to help him, you know, to help my father when my father went through cancer, I really wanted to be involved in this project so that I can be more prepared. If I ever cross paths with someone who needs me again, I want to do all the right things. And so that's my heart. That's my motivation.
When I was first diagnosed and I had to go into chemotherapy right away, I was on a very strong drug that they weren't sure I was going to make it through it. And when I went into my first session, I was sitting in the chemo chair, and looking around me, looking at a lot of people who, in my mind, were dying because they were placid, they were gray, and they weren't happy. So my goal was, when I was there, to walk through the little rooms that you have are set up, or the little side room, and make everybody laugh, you know, have jokes. So at one occasion, when I came in, I had met a woman the week before that I'd gone in who was really struggling. And the next week, she was in the offshoot room, which is off to the side, and she was sitting there with a bunch of other people getting their chemotherapy. And I went in to see her, and she was slugged down real low in her chair like that. And I walked over to talk to her, and I have my vial with me, my tube, and I pulled up next to her and got on the floor next to her and sat down, and it was a chair just like this. And I looked at her and I said, "What's the matter today, honey? What's going on?" And she looked at me and she said, "You know, Michelle, we're going to die." And I said, "Yes, we all are going to die, but not today. Today's not your day." And as I talked to her, she laughed a little bit, but tears were coming down. And I had my hand on her arms and I was reaching over to her. And I said, "You know, we can't walk this alone. You're trying to walk this alone." And I said, "I have Jesus in my life, and there's no fear of death because he'll be beside me. I need to know that you have Jesus in your life." And at that moment, as I was sitting there crying and laughing with her and bringing some hope into her light, as her eyes did light up, I thought to myself, this is my defining moment right here. This is where God's telling me, this is not about you, Michelle. This is bigger than you. And you've got to go out and reach people. And that never died. That's in my heart. And we can't stop. One is not enough. It's every single person who's going through this needs to know, even if they do know, that Jesus is there. And our mission is to go out and walk in that field, share our hope and where it comes from.
That's from Life's Bend in the Road. And it's just a small excerpt from session one in the video series called Life's Bend in the Road, and this particular chapter referred to as Everyone Knows Someone. Well, the woman you were just hearing from, Michelle Becker, is sitting across the table from me. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Welcome to Lifeline.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Now, are you a member at Crossroads Christian Church?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm not putting you on the spot, because if you're not a member but you just attend, that's not what I mean. I just mean that you know Pastor Pat from the church.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And Pastor Pat Kleitz, you've not been on the show before, have you?
I have never been, no.
But I do remember when I was pastoring that we invited you to come do a men's retreat.
Yes, I remember that. I just got back from India, and I was exhausted and I don't remember where we were, Neil, but it was fun.
Yeah, we were at a place called Hickory Hill near Varysburg, New York. And, man, it was awesome. We had like 100 guys.
Yes, we did.
What a weekend that was.
It was a good weekend.
So we go back a ways. I think that was like 12 years ago or something. But you called me. And we saw each other at Lorianne Boscarino's wedding. She's now Lorianne Reed.
Sure.
Here, I got to show you something. That's her little one, Nora. I don't know if you've seen pictures on Facebook, but so Lorianne and Ty have a little baby, and she's a sweetheart. Yeah. So she wanted me to say hi to you.
Wonderful. Wow.
But I remember talking at her wedding, and it was really special. But you had told me something about one of your cancer journeys at that point, but I didn't realize you're a three-time cancer survivor.
Three times,
Wow. Yeah. The most recent?
Yeah, the most recent actually was 3 years ago, and I went to Cleveland Clinic. I was operated on there and went through chemotherapy here, 4 months of really, really strenuous chemotherapy. Doctors gave me very little chance of surviving, but you're looking at me, Neil. I'm alive.
Hang on. Let me pinch you for a second. I want to make sure. But you have, you've got a chapter title in this study called Why Me, but yours could be Why Me Three Times.
Why Me Three Times.
Man, so it's not just cancer survivors, it's multiple cancer survivors.
Multiple.
We'll be talking with today. So that's a reality that we have to think about.
It is.
Michelle, you were diagnosed when?
2009. Mm-hmm. And it was metastatic melanoma.
Wow.
And I've been through three strong bouts of chemotherapy. And I was given 9 months to live in 2009. And the doctors all call me the M word, the miracle word. So I'm very blessed to be here.
Wow. Okay, I got to get this out right at the beginning. Clearly, as Christians, we believe in miracles, and both of you, in many ways, are miracles. I mean, you were told you probably shouldn't be here, but you're here. And God does often heal, because he can. Then you think about situations like Johnny Erickson Tada, who 50-plus years ago broke her neck, and she's still in a wheelchair, and she loves Jesus, and she believes in the power of God, and she prays for healing, but she's still in that wheelchair. Or Nick Vujicic, born without arms or legs, prays for arms and legs every day, but God has not answered that prayer yet. He does keep a pair of shoes in his closet, however, just in case, he says. So we believe in the power of prayer, we believe in healing, and we believe that God, I fully believe God was a part of your process, and that you're here today because of the intervention of God and how he may use medicine and technology at various times or just miraculously heal, because he can do that. So I want to be clear about that fact. But we have some people listening right now who prayed diligently and fasted and anointed their friends and loved ones with oil, who lost those friends and loved ones. So I want to be raw and real here, and just let's deal with this beast straight up, but let God be glorified in the midst of it. So even as you guys have experienced God's healing and his preserving power, I mean, Michelle, you shouldn't be here by all accounts. Same with you, Pastor Pat. How do you respond to this question when it comes up? And what, because you wrote this series to be a hope to other people, and we want to provide godly hope to others, but there are some who say, I don't believe God can heal because I prayed for my loved one and they're gone. What do you say right off the bat when somebody responds like that?
I say God is sovereign, Neil. We really don't know why God heals some people and some people he doesn't. But I know this, he's sovereign. And, there's a scripture in John 9 where the disciples ask, it's about a blind man, who sinned? Did he or the parents? And Jesus heals the blind man, and he says these words. He says, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the outcome is, ultimately, somehow God is working in us to work through us to touch other people's lives. I'm alive today. Why am I alive? It's because God has something for me to do at this point that's different than it was back when I was diagnosed, and God's sovereign. And
there may be a rare individual who gets a cancer diagnosis and or a prognosis that says, look, you've got 3 to 6 months to live or something, who can turn around and say, wow, this is great, because I know God wants to use me. But I got to believe that there were moments in both of your lives that maybe you didn't feel that way right off the bat. I mean, here you are today. Let me throw it to you, Michelle. You know, you've been going through this for a while, but when you were first diagnosed, it was kind of bleak looking, right? I mean, you used the word metastatic, which means everywhere, right? Cancer everywhere?
It's moved. It's gone into a major organ. So right. I'm a stage 4 cancer patient in remission right now.
Right.
So, yeah, it was real scary. I was 43 years old and a single mom of a 7 and a 10-year-old, and I'm like, I can't go anywhere. I got to take care of these kids. But there was fear. Even though I was a walking Christian, I'll tell you, I had some major fear moments. I'd go on the internet and I'd start to research because I'm kind of one of those people who have to see numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be out researching. And at one point, I got myself in such a tizzy on the internet, I started to hyperventilate and I thought I was going to pass out. And I had a bag and I started breathing in it. And I was just like, Lord, you got to help me because I couldn't even get out of that moment. I went blank. And it was interesting that Tammy, the other cancer patient, at that moment called me on my cell phone.
Wow.
And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm on the internet. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm never going to see my kids graduate from high school. And she said, get off the internet, and I'm going to come over, and I'm going to talk to you after work. You're not going on the internet anymore. And so we got a pact there. That moment of fear, it was like God's center to me. I always just feel that way because I was really not in a good place, Neil. And ever since, when I had a question, she would go on the internet for me. Mm-hmm. We had an agreement. So I had a buddy who stood alongside of me and helped me through that. And I had a lot of buddies, but she was ever present for me.
I get the impression that when you're diagnosed or when, you know, when all of this starts to hit the fan and you realize, wow, I might not actually be here to see my kids graduate or to see my daughter walk down the aisle or see my grandkids, whatever it is. I mean, we're just human. Whew. And when that moment hits, that there's a fog going on, you don't know where to turn or where to begin. And thank God that the Lord sent Tammy in that moment, because God is a provider. He always provides. But I get the sense that that has something to do with why you guys put this curriculum together in the first place, right? To kind of help people through the fog. Can you help me with that, Pastor Pat?
Yeah. You know, a couple of things happen, Neil, when you're diagnosed. I mean, the fear is just overwhelming. I mean, it just washes over you. You almost feel like you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting in the car with my wife and just looking at the steering wheel. I forgot how to turn the car on. You know, I just came out of the doctor's office and the doctor said there's really no sense in doing this treatment. It's all through your body, and it's really too late. And just this overwhelming fear of, like, what am I going to do? You know, what? I mean, just this total sense of loss of control.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is no longer your own. You have no control. I mean, you go from doctor appointment, diagnosis to diagnosis, test to test, and your life literally is in the hands of other people. And people that you know, when they find out, they don't know how to respond. Your family, your friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, they look at you. They don't know what to say. I mean, they don't even want to say cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about it because they don't know how to handle it. I mean, you don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle it. And so there's this overwhelming fear. There's this sense of avoidance. You know, people kind of see it coming, and they kind of take a quick look, and then they drift off the other way because mm-hmm. they really don't know how to deal with it. And you just literally, you don't know what to do next. You don't know what to do. What do I do? That's why Michelle went on the internet.
Right.
You know, you try to find somebody that's got a word of hope. Where's the hope? So we said, look, we've been through this. I'm alive. She's alive. Tammy's alive. Let's create this message of hope. There's nothing like this out there right now, Neil. I looked all over to be able to take my church through a small group curriculum, and there was nothing out there. There was no curriculum, and we said, look, let's develop our own. And it took us 2 years. We spent 2 years developing this curriculum.
Wow.
We sat down and said, let's do something that we can take and we can give to churches and pastors and small groups, and people can... It's all the things that we wish we knew when we were diagnosed are mm-hmm. in this material.
I love how proactive you were about saying, all right, because we've experienced a sense of hopelessness, or we've been in that place of hopelessness, right, and didn't know where to turn, God, how would you use us to be
right,
a vehicle for hope in others' lives, right? So you turned it around and said, God, if you can use this to bless others and point people to you and encourage them in the process of walking this road of cancer, we're going to do it. And I just want to commend you. It's so awesome that there is a resource like this, 7-part video series. And as I understand it, you're actually going to be teaching this at Bender's Christian Supplies beginning soon in a small group setting?
Correct.
When is that?
That starts next Thursday. I think it's at 9:30 in the morning. I'll actually be teaching the curriculum. We'll actually be showing the DVD and going through the workbook. Bender's will be, have it on their shelf there.
Right.
It's available for anyone. Or they can go on our website, purchase it right off the website. You can purchase any one of the 7 sessions right there on the website. You can download it right onto your computer and watch it.
Help me understand, too, the approach you took in dealing with some of these issues. Like, for instance, session 5 is about treatment options. My first thought when I heard you say something like that was, oh boy, are you going to be telling people that one treatment is better than another, or, you know, that God has ordained one particular treatment over another? How do you approach something like that?
Well, partly the way we approached it was we did interviews with some surgeons and some doctors. It's part of the series. Mm-hmm. And basically asking them, you know, what they would do if they were in our shoes. And most of them said, look, get a second opinion. You know,
I've heard that many times,
yeah,
by the way.
Get a second opinion. It's really, really, you have to become your own advocate and seek a really balanced approach to treatment. You know, everybody's got the answer, Neil. People were at my door, knocking on my door. I've got the answer. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. But you, as the patient, you know, you need to get alone, get quiet before the Lord and say, Father, where do you want to take me? You know, where can I go? And there's all kinds of, all the time, there's new treatments. One doctor said, live a day to live a week, live a week to live a month to live a year to live. You know, and that's really what you're doing. You don't quit. You don't give up.
And on the nutrition part, you were telling me when we spoke on the phone that that has quite a bit to do with treating your body right while you're going through treatment, right? It isn't so much
correct,
that one particular food is going to be the miracle cure for cancer. That's not the approach.
Right. Eating an apple is not going to cure your cancer, but it sure can go a long ways to helping you fight the cancer, helping you feel better. Eating is really critical. You know, most cancer patients, when they're diagnosed with cancer, they're nutritionally deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to go through treatment, and they become more nutritionally deficient. And 40% of the cancer patients that go through treatment, they die because one of the reasons why is because of malnutrition. You've got to eat well. You've got to drink tons of fluid and detox your body, and we talk a lot about that in the DVD series.
What's interesting, too, and we'll talk more about it when we return, but it's not just information in here for the patient, but also for the caregiver.
Correct.
Now, we just got off, a series where we were talking about helping people affected by Alzheimer's disease,
mm-hmm.
which is now, by the way, the 6th leading cause of death in the U.S. So the numbers continue to climb as the population ages and stuff. But the goal, our role as a, you know, radio station stuff, the reason we got involved was because we felt this is something that's directly affecting our world, like cancer. Doesn't know any boundaries. It's men, women, young, old, you know, rich, poor, doesn't care, Canadian, American. So it covers a lot of ground. And you know, we have an opportunity to provide hope and encouragement. And our thought was, what if somebody in a church became aware of the need around them? They found out that their neighbor's father had Alzheimer's disease, or their boss's wife or something, you know, somebody close to them. And they began to encourage that person and encourage that caregiver through the process of taking care of that friend or loved one. Mm-hmm. Instantly, you've got a relationship that's developed through which the Lord can operate. And this is exactly the same with cancer.
Correct.
So, you know, it's not just an individual who's affected. Whole families are affected. And that means whole communities are affected. And this provides a tremendous opportunity for us in the body of Christ to provide hope and encouragement and bring light into other people's darkness, right? So we've got a lot to talk about here. Some of you are cancer survivors. Some of you are caregivers. Some of you have walked this road, and you've got things you're going to want to add to our conversation. So let me just say, I'm going to open the phone lines here in the next few minutes. If you want to jump on board, you're more than welcome to join us at any point. But if God moves on your heart to share something with us, we'd be happy to have you. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. I do want to say directly that part of my desire here is to focus primarily on the contents of this video series as opposed to other ideas you might have. Obviously, I don't want to discourage people from bringing ideas to the table. But as you alluded to earlier, Pastor Pat, and as I've experienced in the past, there are people who have, you know, supposed miracle cures because there's some herb under a rock in Tunisia that can solve all of this. And I would encourage you to send that stuff to me, and we'll look at it. And there's possibility of talking about similar kinds of things in the days ahead. But right here and right now, let's talk about the contents of this video series, because it's such a powerful opportunity for people to reach out, because everyone knows someone. That's session one. Dealing with fear, session two. The question, why me, is session three. Living life by statistics or finding hope in spite of the statistics. That's session four. We'll talk more about that. Treatment options, you do deal with the issue in session five. Session six is about nutrition, caring for body, mind, and spirit. And then session seven, how do I help? That's a big one. So we've got a lot to talk about here. If you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Back with Pastor Pat Kleitz.
Can't listen to Lifeline at work? Would it help if Neil mentioned your boss's personal cell phone number and email address live on the air? Just think about it.
Yeah, maybe we can get your boss to let you listen. If we bombard your boss with appeals from our listening audience. All right, let's continue the conversation here. Life's Bend in the Road is the name of the video series and companion study guide. Okay, we're going to get to the calls in a moment. So, Denise, I see you there. And if you've got a question or comment, or you've been listening to the conversation, we'd love to hear your story and maybe the biggest obstacles you've faced. Maybe you've got stories to tell about those awkward moments when friends or loved ones would come around, but they would fail to address your situation and kind of pretend it wasn't there. You've lived this. You've got things to share about it, and we want to hear your stories as well, and we'll kind of tie them back to the curriculum as we talk with you about it. But if you want to jump in, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And in the greater Buffalo area, it's 883-5000 there, but let me just say that you can text us toll-free at 866-883-2030 if you can't get in. So then that's going to work on both sides of the border. So if you can't get through or your boss won't let you call in, just text us at 866-883-2030. Any question or comment is fair game. All right, well, I was going to ask you a question, but let's go right to the phones here. Let me just ask Denise what's on her heart. And Denise, thank you for calling. What's up?
It's Bernice.
Bernice. I'm sorry. Okay. I got to wear a stronger pair of glasses. That's not my bad. What's up, Bernice?
Okay. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a breast cancer survivor, as is my sister. Out of a family of 12, three of us have had cancer. Unfortunately, my brother, who had kidney cancer, was diagnosed at stage four. He passed away 2.5 years ago. So the statistics about it being, you know, in your family, I mean, there's three in my family right now. Anyway, my sister and myself are both cancer-free and have been for a while. We both had totally different types of breast cancer, totally different treatment. One of the things that I went through was I had really great treatment. One of the things that I experienced as a Christian, when I was diagnosed, the doctor just sat down and told me that it would be a 10-month treatment and I would go through this. And I'm not trying to be prideful here, but I was never afraid. I was never afraid of the diagnosis. Even since then, I have felt that I'm not sorry I went through it, but I had a really good prognosis, and it was a very early detection, and I was like a kind of, it, I was very blessed. I went through everything. It was hard, but it was a good experience for me.
It wasn't debilitating, I think is what you mean to say.
It was. But what I found in the Christian community, now everybody's an expert all of a sudden on what you should eat and what you shouldn't do, and those are people that have never gone through it, never had cancer. One thing I found about some of the Christians that I dealt with was, well, God is my healer. I'm not taking radiation. I'm not taking chemo. And they wouldn't. But for the type of cancer I had, does that make me less a Christian because I went for chemo and radiation? And the type of cancer I had up until 2002, there was no cure. So it has come a long way. The treatment was good. I'm thriving. Well, you've seen me in the last few months, so you know that I'm doing okay. You know that I'm doing well and that I don't look like I've had cancer. But what well-meaning Christians will tell you, well, I would never go through that. I would never go through radiation, you know. Use their faith and their prayers, and God is my healer, so I don't need the treatment. So I have a bit of an issue with that kind of...
Sure, okay. Well, let's stop and just deal with that for a second. Well-meaning people who say things that are... You remember in statistics, the bell curve? You know, the mean or the whatever is right there in the middle, but out on the edges you have the fringe, things that occur. In when it comes to voting and stuff like that, it's always the plus or minus 2 or 3% that's way out there on the edges. Okay, there are some people who make comments way out there on the edges that are not mainstream, and dealing with them can be troublesome, whatever they are. And they're usually well-meaning comments. They're from people who really actually care. Any thoughts about that, or do you deal with anything like that in the curriculum? Because she's hitting on something that's very real. You know, this idea that people will come up and say, well, if you really... here's one. If you... It's likely that you have hidden sin in your life, which is why you have cancer in the first place. Or if you really believed in God, you wouldn't get chemo or radiation. What do you do when that happens? Let's just be real here, because it does happen.
You know, when I'm a pastor, and I pastor a fairly large church, and, I mean, people were knocking on my door with the cure.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, Neil, sitting down with my family, especially my daughter, and looking at her and saying, you know, people are saying this and this and this, and, you know, and what do you think, you know, if I do this, if I do this, and if I eat this, and I drink this, and I'll never forget, she looked at me, she said, Dad, you do everything you can do to live. It was her way of saying, don't do crazy thing, Dad. You know, do the best thing. You know, there's wisdom in these doctors. These doctors know what they're doing. They've been treating cancer for years, and they've been improving the treatment. And, you know, Dad, go and get the best of the best. And I knew right then if I didn't have that kind of balance in the approach, that and something happened and I didn't survive, that it would be really hard on her. And she would think, you know, if Dad only had done, he would have survived. So it wasn't just about me.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about what I thought. It was about my family and other people around me. You know, I was...
Sure. You have anything to add to that?
I do, because it was just me at the time when I was going through this, and my doctors would never make a decision for me. They always said, here are your choices of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time what I would do is I would pray a lot, and seek the inside intuition, sure. You know, and see what I was feeling. But there, every one of the chemotherapy treatments I was supposed to walk through was death as a side effect. The drugs were that strong at the time.
Hmm.
And I just felt, I knew, as aggressive as this cancer was, that there was no way that anything would stop it but what they were presenting to me. And they were well thought out theories, and my doctor presented it to me. And I felt that if I felt guilty about anything I was doing, that was not from God. God was not going to make me feel guilty about stepping out to try to save my life so I could be around for my children. And I always felt that if I was feeling fear, just like we said, is, you know, some people don't feel fear. They have a very comfort as they walk through this. I think I was so fearful because of my children.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to be there. I needed to represent their lives. And I think back now, I would not be who I am today if I didn't go through every step I went through in this cancer. I would never go back and change anything, as crazy as that sounds. And I was deadly sick for a long time. But I've just become so close to him and lean on him now that my life isn't perfect, but it pretty much is going through without fear and knowing where I'm heading. And he's talking to me. And I don't really trust what other people tell me, even my doctors sometimes. I would just sit, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't trust your doctor. Let me be clear there. But I think you have to really be intuitive and understand your body and where your soul's at and go from there. Other people can't speak. They can speak life into you, but they can't speak those kind of decisions into you, I believe. I mean, I always felt that every time. And every time I go for a PET scan now.
Yeah, that's really wise. I appreciate what you're saying.
Very wise.
My wife is a pediatric nurse, and she always says when it comes to moms dealing with their own kids, doctors know a lot about treating children, but nobody knows that child better than the mom. And doctors need to pay attention to what mom is saying because they may try some treatment and see that, you know, for whatever the issue is, whether it's cancer or not, and say, I'm not sure that's going to be right for my child, and let me tell you why. And doctors ought to listen at times to what moms have to say. But what you're saying is God made us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us if we're believers, and he gives us wisdom and discernment. And weeding your way through the variety of choices, like you said, your daughter came to you, Pastor Pat. I mean, God, we're in a relationship with the creator of the universe. And we need to trust his leading and follow the path he leads us on. And it may not be the exact same path that another believer has been on, but that's where grace comes in. Because that other believer doesn't need to come along and say, well, you need to be on the same path I was on, because this is what God said to me. And you can say, well, that's not what God's saying to me.
I learned over the years that God speaks to us through different people at different times. You know, I've always had a close relationship with my family, and major decisions like that, they're older, and Michelle's children are younger. I sit down and say, what do you think? Help me through this. I need your counsel. I need, you know, I trust them. I love them. They know me. They know how I'm wired, and I know how they're wired. And they'd sit down and say, Dad, you know, Dad, do this, Dad. Think about this, Dad. I mean, I could hear the voice of God through them as well. They're close to me. They're intimate with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that would come, they'd be well-meaning, but I didn't have that intimacy with them that I had with my family. I needed their counsel. And I wasn't going through this thing alone. They were in it with me.
Well, and that's the encouragement for writing this series and putting the series together, Life's Been in the Road. It's so that we as believers can get actively involved in loving and caring for others as they go through the process. And as I mentioned earlier, this isn't just for people diagnosed with cancer. It's for the caregivers as well, the people close to those who've been diagnosed with cancer. And so we've got a lot to talk about. Denise, thanks again for the phone call. We've got to move along here.
Okay.
And I really appreciate you. And she's doing wonderfully well in the Lord.
Praise
and
Lord.
Physically.
Amen.
As well. 800-684-2848, 883-5000, if you want to call from the greater Buffalo area. Some of you may have recently got a cancer diagnosis, or somebody you know or love has been diagnosed with cancer, and you're facing fear. That's actually one of the titles of one of the chapters in the series. We can talk about the fear. We can talk about anything else that may be on your mind, but the phone lines are open, and if you want to jump on board, now's a great time to call. 800-684-2848, 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Back with Pastor Pat Kleitz of Crossroads Christian Church, and also Michelle Becker in studio with us, talking about life's bend in the road, and that bend is a cancer diagnosis. We'll be back with more after this, from Chad Savage of JC Mechanical, now doing heating and cooling work not only on residential buildings and residential structures, but also on churches, ministries, and commercial buildings. Your business needs a new heating and air conditioning system, and you want the best person for the job. Recommendations always play a large role in these kinds of decisions, and I have one for you. A couple of weeks ago, my friend Joe Farage from Buffalo Design and Printing joined me on Lifeline and told us all about his experience with Chad Savage from JC Mechanical.
I heard his ad on WDCX, so I called him up. He was on my roof all day today installing a big 1,100-pound air conditioning unit for my commercial building. Everything from the thermostat on the wall to the big unit up on top. He took an air conditioning unit and made it into an AC heat unit so I can use it for both. Excellent for residential work, but he does commercial as well. He did a great job. Chad is a very knowledgeable guy. He knows his stuff.
When you need to put a heating or cooling unit in your building, call Chad Savage of JC Mechanical. He wants to help you every step of the way because at JC Mechanical, service is their greatest product. Call today at 716-474-8191. That's 716-474-8191.
You need work done on your teeth, but you're hesitant because you cannot afford dental surgery. Dr. Francis Long is a dentist known for calming the nerves of his patients and helping them to restore their teeth at a fraction of what surgery would cost. WDCX listener Dennis Cancellara shares his experience with Dr. Long.
You know, you're always a little bit anxious when you go to see a dentist. You don't know what to expect. You don't know the extensiveness of the work. He is great at restoring teeth and not having to do major surgery on them. I live on a tight budget. You know, he helped to fix my teeth without going into extensive surgery.
Dr. Long was able to save Dennis's teeth without having to do any costly surgery. And he can do the same for you. Your journey to a beautiful smile is just a phone call away. Call Dr. Long, the fear-free dentist, to schedule your first appointment today at 905-881-7839.
Or 883-5000. If you have something to say, we want to hear it.
So what about you? Three out of four families affected by cancer, and some of you know individuals who have cancer. Some of you have been through a cancer diagnosis. You've walked the road. You're cancer-free today or are still struggling. But you've got real stories to tell, real life stories, and how you faced that diagnosis, where God was in the midst of it, and how you began to deal with it. And perhaps some of you as caregivers have stories to share about what God taught you about coming alongside friends and loved ones. When we were listening to that clip earlier, some may just have tuned in and they didn't hear the clip that was played back, but it was a section of session one called Everyone Knows Someone. And I believe that it was Tammy that was talking, but she talked about having regrets and felt like that that when she knew someone with cancer, that she kind of did everything the wrong way. There may be some people listening right now that feel that because they feel like they've said or done the wrong thing, or they've not known how to be involved or how to encourage someone, so they've kind of stayed away or whatever it is. They may be feeling some sense of regret. Can you speak a word of grace into that? Because we all make mistakes, but at the same time, this curriculum is designed to help ease some of that tension and allow people to act more freely when they find out that a friend or loved one has cancer. But I don't know. What do you think, Michelle? What's on your heart about this issue?
I think the biggest thing is exactly what Tammy said, is she said she made light of it. And I've had a lot of people totally avoid me when I was going through things. And the best thing that I would say is approach that person as if they were the same person they were before and give them love and kindness and speak into their lives and be there to assist and help them, not turn and walk away from them. Because when you get avoided, you start to feel like you have a disease that's bigger than cancer. And you start to feel like there's no hope because people are going to be constantly turning their back. I would walk in and people would start to cry and turn and walk away from you, just not knowing what to do. And the best advice I could say to anyone out there is that person is the same person you've always loved. And that person needs you more now than they have ever needed you. And if you go up and cry to them, that's okay. Because they're going to cry right back with you. Mm-hmm. But the point is you are meeting them eye to eye. And I would highly recommend that you reach out your hand and hold their hand or put your hand on their shoulder and touch them and let them feel the love. Because they need to know you're there more than anything.
Okay, but to go back, just to clarify, you said the biggest issue is making light of it. What you were saying is the biggest problem is making light of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Failing to acknowledge that there's actually something going on.
Yes.
Yeah, I understood what you were saying, but I want to clarify for somebody who was just listening. Go ahead.
You know, when I announced on Sunday morning to the church, I looked out at the people and I remember saying, I need you more than ever. I need you. And at the end of the service, five or six little girls came up to the front And they're all crying. And I said, what's the matter? They said, Pastor, you can't die. You have to do our weddings.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, I said, then pray for me. And I knelt right down right there. And they laid their hands on me and they prayed for me.
Wow.
And I think about that, you know. I need you. You know, one of the things Michelle was just saying is that because people don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, they do tend to not talk about it. It's a tough topic.
Right.
Because it's affected us in so many different ways. I actually had people not show up at church because of their past experiences with cancer, or maybe they didn't want to see me just dwindle down to nothing and go home to be with the Lord. They maybe didn't want to be there for it. But that's when people need you. I needed those little girls to come up and do that. I needed that, Neil. I needed that more than I needed it, the next shot of chemo or something else. I needed people to come up and be there. You know, people would say to me, Pastor, if you need anything, give me a call. I'm not going to give you a call. One time a lady just showed up at my house, just knocked on the door, and there she was with an organic home-cooked meal.
Hmm.
I can tell you what was on that plate. I can still see that all the food that she gave. And she just showed up. She just showed up. You know, somebody shows up with a lawnmower, mows your lawn. Somebody shows up with a shovel, cleans the weeds out of your wife's garden because you're not feeling well. Or somebody just shows up and says, you know, you and your wife, go out for dinner. We're going to clean your house while you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. I mean, you talk about the healing power of God. I mean, that'll heal you, you know, emotionally, physically. I mean, it just...
Isn't that what we were created for as believers? This is what we were created to do. And I don't know why sometimes we're kind of slow to pick up on that.
I don't know.
I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 1, and it says in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Isn't that amazing? But I sometimes think we're so stunned by the news of a friend or loved one, you know, having a diagnosis like that. It's so shocking, and we feel so awkward about, you know, approaching someone, that we check out of the program on this kind of thing, when this is what we were created for. And God bless those folks who show up with a mower or a meal or whatever it happens to be, or those little girls who on the spot prayed for you. You know, wow.
That's why we developed this curriculum. We developed this curriculum to help people get over that hump of the avoidance and the fear and those other kinds of things. To say to our church, you can make a difference. When somebody hits a bend in the road, they're at a place of decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're open to the gospel. They're open to receive help. And you can make a difference. You know, your words mixed with God's words can become hope into their life. And there you are. And so we said, let's develop this curriculum and equip our people so that they can step into the life of somebody and really make a difference when it's really necessary.
And obviously equip the people that attend your church, but right. Equip the body of Christ.
Equip the body of Christ.
Because this is for all of us.
Yeah.
This video series itself is called Life's Bend in the Road, and there's a study guide that goes with it. You can find it by going to bendintheroad.net. Mm-hmm. And order a copy for your church or for your Bible study group, and I encourage you to do so. But this also is going to be taught at Bender's Christian Supplies beginning next Thursday, you think, at 9 a.m.
9 or 9:30, I think it is, Neil.
Okay, at Bender's, which is on Sheridan Drive in Williamsville. Mm-hmm. So you can experience it firsthand or get a copy by going to bendintheroad.net.
Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to 99.5 WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM 970 Buffalo, WDCX AM 990 Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester, and WDCD AM 1540 Albany.
Let's get back to it on a Monday edition of Lifeline, a brand new week, and thank you for joining us. Some of you just jumping in the car, you just got out of work a few minutes ago, and thank you for tuning in and starting your week together with us on Lifeline. Pastor Pat Kleitz of Crossroads Christian Church is in Elma or East Aurora?
It's actually located in Elma. Our mailing address is East Aurora.
Okay, I've never
right
been so confused
Jameson
about that.
Jameson Girdle.
Okay,
right,
all right. So
can't miss it.
The Elma, East Aurora area is where you'll find Crossroads Christian Church. Pastor Pat is a three-time cancer survivor. Michelle Becker is a cancer survivor as well. So is Tammy Castellano. They all cooperated with doctors and other experts, other cancer survivors, in putting together a video curriculum. It's exceptionally well done, I want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You had somebody who knew how to do video working with you. And I think you said it was some group out of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exceptionally well done, high quality. And then the companion study guide is perfect for small group Bible study. I got to say something before we continue because it's on my heart, and God help it to come out the right way. And I mean this with grace, but sometimes you got to say kind of a strong word. Having been a pastor and having been a part of the church for many years, we often talk about wanting to reach the world with the gospel.
Mm.
And we wait for the next best thing to come out. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I got involved in a campaign called I Found It.
Yeah.
Been a part of various evangelistic campaigns and other things that were created, designed to reach communities for Christ. And some of them are effective, and there's nothing wrong with them. But it's like we wait for these things to come out as though they are the answer as to how we're going to reach our world with the gospel. You know, when you're talking about the guy coming over to mow your lawn, that may have been somebody from your church who knows the Lord coming to bless his pastor. But on the other hand, let's say that any one of us live next door to somebody who's diagnosed with cancer. We can't make them a meal. We can't cut their lawn. We can't offer to take their kids to swimming lessons on Saturday morning. This is not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And I'm so passionate about it, and I'm actually angry. Like, I want to say, church, wake up. There's a lost and dying world around us. Let's open our eyes and understand that there are people everywhere who need somebody to speak hope and life into their lives. And we, in the body of Christ, have that message. We've got it. So I don't want to be condemning in any way, but I feel strongly about that.
You know, I received my treatment in Cleveland, and I told my surgeon, I said, if you ever need me to speak to somebody, you call me. Mm-hmm. I receive phone calls all the time, Neil. And you know what I do? I get in my car and I drive to Cleveland.
Wow.
I drive to the clinic and I meet those people right where they are. And many of those, many times they don't know Christ,
mm-hmm.
but they're at a bend in the road. I'll use this word never. I have never had a cancer patient in that condition refuse prayer. They're always open.
I believe it.
If there's a God, I need him right now. I don't know if there's a God, but if there's a God, but if I show up, Jesus would skin on. The gospel's real. It's alive. I'm standing right there with him.
And it's not like even in that moment, that right that second, you have to share the entire plan of salvation. But Michelle, I picked up in your comments earlier that this we're talking life or death when we start talking about cancer.
That's right.
And just being there to love on someone and building a relationship with someone who's struggling or ministering to a family that's providing care for a friend or loved one who's dying of cancer creates relationship. And then paves the way for us to speak into their lives, begin to pray with these people, and one day perhaps share the gospel. But I think you feel that way too, right? That this is something bigger. You said it earlier. This is bigger than just cancer. It's what God wants to do to build his kingdom.
Hmm.
It's so much bigger, and it's so much bigger than me. But God has allowed me the opportunity to be a part of this, and that's why we did this so strongly. And I'll tell you, here's an example. There's a gentleman came up to me last week or two ago, and he goes, I've been through life's been in the road with the church. And the minute his son got diagnosed with melanoma,
mm-hmm.
young boy, he goes, I had to call you immediately, Michelle, because I knew you could at least direct me. I'm heading to the doctor's office. Can you give me any words of wisdom? And I just started to tell him a few things that I knew, just straight out, you know. Listen to your I always say that. Listen to your intuition. Mm-hmm. Listen to your stomach. And he went in there, and we talked through a few things, and I just basic things. And he said to me, "You just gave me a total feeling of peace because you took the time to just talk to me and let me be heard." and where my fear was residing. He said, you took all that fear away. Mm-hmm. And the only way I did that is he had all the background of this, the life span in the road. He had been through it, but he just needed somebody to reassure him that he was going down the right path. And it wasn't all about, I said, you know what? This isn't even about you. Your son is going to be so much better for this at the end of the day, and he's going to be stronger. So he brought his son to me with his girlfriend. And as I'm standing there, I could just feel the Lord telling me. I just came right out and said, do you know Jesus? Because I felt like I had the opportunity to do that. I looked him in the eyes, and I said, do you know Jesus? And he looked at me, and he goes, yes. And I said, well, what about you? And I looked at his girlfriend, and I said, how about you? And she was in tears. I said, we need to just pray right now. And we just prayed about healing him and healing them, and they've been so much closer and coming together. And that's what this is about. God has given us an opportunity, an opening door to speak into somebody's life because we've walked through cancer, and we can give you some advice knowing this isn't about us. It's so much bigger than me and Pastor and Tammy. It's about getting in front of somebody, having them trust you and feel comfortable with you so then you can share the word.
All right. We lost Rowan Kay somewhere. I'm sorry if he drove out of the cell, but when we come back, we're going to continue with phone calls. And Rowan Kay, if you want to give us a call back, we'll get to it right away. Otherwise, we want to hear from you. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Got something on your mind? Share it with Neil. Call toll-free 800-684-2848 or in the Buffalo area, 883-5000.
So there's a brand new video curriculum with a companion study guide called Life's Bend in the Road. And, of course, the bend in the road is cancer and a diagnosis of cancer. But Pastor Pat Kleitz and some friends have put together an incredible resource that can provide hope when the diagnosis comes, and you're going to feel like a fog. There's a fog that is impenetrable. You're going to wonder where to turn, or if there's hope for the future, and all of these things. You know, how do you deal with the fear that you're experiencing? The question of why me? All of this is dealt with in this companion study guide. There's also information on nutrition while you're going through treatment, various treatment options. The big question: how do I help? How can I get involved in being an assist and not being an obstacle to someone? And also overcoming the fear of, you know, breaking that barrier, getting inside a person's world and saying, I don't really know the right thing to do, but I'm here to love you and care for you. So how do I get involved? All of it's dealt with in this series. And if you want to learn more about it, I'd encourage you to go to the website, which is bendintheroad.net. And you can get a copy there. Pastor Pat's also going to be leading a Bible study on this very topic at Bender's Christian Supplies in Williamsville beginning next Thursday, somewhere around 9 or 9:30 in the morning. So if you get there at 9, you're sure to be on time. All right, right back to the phones here, and we lost Rowan Kay somewhere, but I want to get to all these calls if we can. Susanna, let's start with you from Ajax, Augustine after that, and then on to the rest of the calls. Susanna, thanks for joining us. What's up?
My comment is going to be that I have dealt with a lot of cancer in my life through friends and family. One of the biggest things that I've heard from people who are suffering is that they want normalcy in their life, and people don't come and visit them anymore. They don't talk to them anymore. They don't phone them anymore. They kind of shy away because they don't know what to say. And I think that's the biggest hurt that I've heard from people who are suffering with cancer, is that all the people that I thought were my friends, they've just kind of disappeared because they don't know how to talk to me anymore.
All right, let me throw it to these guys. They're both cancer survivors. You're shaking your head in agreement, so you obviously think Susanna's on to something here.
She's on to it.
Okay. Absolutely. Just like I said before, is people would turn and walk away from me, and that's one of the reasons, again, why this whole series was put together, is we do not want people to do that. We want people to buddy up alongside and be everything they can be to this person who's going through the most difficult time of their life.
All right, and you experienced some of that too, Pastor Pat. I mean, obviously, sure. There was the little girls and there were others in your church.
Yeah, I had people that all of a sudden they were gone. They didn't come to church anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, they didn't in their mind, I was going to die, and in their mind, they didn't want to stay there and watch it, so they avoided it by not coming.
Wow.
But I'm alive.
It's sad. And there's grace for those folks, too. But
oh, my goodness, absolutely. Yes. I understand. I totally understand that.
God wants to give us the strength.
I get it.
To act, you know, in a way that's fitting and not run away in fear. Yeah. Susanna, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for your comment there. Let me get to Augustine in Buffalo. Augustine, good to have you with us. And by the way, if you want to jump on board, it's 800-684-2848 in the greater Buffalo area, 883-5000. Or if any of you have a question or comment, you can text it to us at 866-883-2030. Augustine, what's on your heart? What's going on?
Yes, sir. Just a quick thought. I was able to. Pastor Pat Clive came to our church this weekend, and preached at our church. And our church is predominantly Spanish, so I had the privilege to translate for him the 3 days, and he preached on the covenant of salt. But it was a beautiful message because our pastor is also a cancer survivor. And the most impactful part of the whole weekend that I got was the covenant of salt that brings friendship together. And as a pastor was a survivor, he also, Pastor Pat was there to be with him and be there as a friend. So I think that even if you're not aware of what to do with someone that has cancer, I think the best thing to do is just be there physically for them. And because a lot of times that's people, because if you ask a cancer patient, I believe, do you want help? They'll probably say no. But by you physically being there or doing a gesture for them, I think that would be the best thing. But I just learned so much from Pastor Pat, and I just wanted to tell him that I appreciate him and love him very much. And that friendship that he has with our pastor is a beautiful thing, that even cancer was not able to break the bond, but even make the bond even greater. So it was very impactful. So just encouraging Pastor Pat to keep going. And
there you go.
And God bless you.
Way
yes,
to
sir.
Go, Augustine. Thanks for working with me this weekend. You're amazing. What an amazing guy. Love you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
God bless you, Pastor.
Thanks, buddy.
Love it. You know, he raised an interesting point, though, and let's bring it up. Let me bring it back up for just a second. And it's that idea of, he said, just being there. There's the flight issue. Some people run away because they're afraid they don't know the right thing to do or say. Others, though, you know, in being present might want to do too much. Like, oh, no, don't reach for that TV remote. Let me hand it to you. And that can create some awkwardness, too, when somebody's maybe too involved in treating the cancer patient like they're already gone. Help us with that, because we need grace in both ends of that spectrum. Somebody want to comment? You know, what would you do if somebody was trying to treat you like you were so fragile you were going to break if you just simply, you know, did a normal life activity?
There's two pieces to that. In that case, you have to remember to just be yourself, not over the top, because don't let that person think that they're heading towards the end, right? We don't want them to feel like they're halfway out, so we're going to treat them really special.
Right.
Let's just treat them special like we should, the family that they are, and love right up on them. But one of the other things, and one of the most difficult things that I had to deal with, and it, I think it comes in place here and it's really important, is that the ability to learn how to receive. Every time I got a phone call, I said no. I'll be honest with you. People would call and say, can I make you dinner? I'd be like, no, we're fine. Really, everything's great, and I'm not feeding my kids, and I'm laying on the couch, you know, dying over here. But I'm like, no, we don't need food. But
good call, Michelle. That was
a little pride in that one.
So, no, I'm fine. But the good thing was those folks showed up at my door anyways.
No one ever listened to me.
Really? That's
yes.
Fabulous.
So
love it.
Yeah.
Especially Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy in our church. You know, I mean, I said no to the church like 10,000 times, and she's like, ding dong, every day I had my chemotherapy, they showed up. You know, but my friends did too. So you don't have to be the church to do it in the church. You can be a sister and brother, you know, in Christ and love. And so that's really important, is we've got to remind those out there who are going through this, stop saying no, you know, because it's real silly. And the rest of you, start saying yes and go do it. Like you said, Neil, that's amazing. Just go show up.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a break again and be back in just a moment. Io, I see your phone call and we'll continue. It's 800-684-2848, 883-5000. If you're calling from the greater Buffalo area.
Ever try our toll-free text line? 866-883-2030. That's 866-883-2030.
All right, let's get back to it here. A few minutes left with Pastor Pat Kleitz and also Michelle Becker. They're co-creators of a video series with a companion study guide called Life's Bend in the Road, and this is high-quality material. The video itself is incredible. The study guide will help you in a small group setting to talk through some of the major issues they deal with here, like, first of all, everyone knows someone, the idea of how prevalent cancer can be and how pervasive it is in the world that we live. Fear is session two, just the whole question of life and death, so fear dealt with in session two. The why me question of session three, living by statistics, and that one, if I'm picking up, I didn't get to see much of the preview to that, but that particular session doesn't deal so much with holding out hope for good statistics you can find on the internet. It's meeting the God who supersedes all statistics, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's kind of what you were saying when you, Michelle, when you got caught up in a frenzy of finding out that your prognosis was not very good, statistically speaking, till somebody kind of brought you back to earth and said, no, but you've got a Savior who's bigger than all this, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so that's hope. It's session four. Treatment options, session five, and you kind of deal with that in a very grace-filled way to help people understand that, above all else, a second opinion is very important. You mentioned that earlier. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people that I know and love who have cancer, who learned, in some cases, perhaps even the hard way, that they should have sought a second opinion when others said they were so grateful they did. Nutrition, caring for body, mind, and spirit, particularly as you're going through treatment, that's session six. And then session seven, really important, how do I help? And that's a book for, that's a chapter that can really assist caregivers and those who love people with cancer. All right, let's continue the conversation here. Io, want to get to you. And if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Io, thanks for holding. You're on with Pastor Pat. Michelle is here as well. What's on your heart?
I just wanted to thank the three of you, you know, especially your guests, because one thing I've been saying in the last few months is, as long as we breathe, our purpose is to find a need and feel a need. Some people are going to be saying, oh, what are you talking about? Listen, the number one commandment is to love God and love other people. And we have to learn from Job. I mean, Job's so-called friend. You know, people are, oh, what can I say? What can I do? Be quiet. Be friendly. Love them and encourage them. That's what we need to do. And we cannot be ashamed of talking about our own testimony. And obviously, we've got to add Christ to it. Because all I know is people need love. And this is not the kind of love you buy in Walmart, because there's not, love is not for sale. So we got to do our part. We just go there and make a difference in this world. I'm listening to your guests. I'm like, my goodness, I'm learning. I thought I've learned. I'm still learning, and we're all still learning. So all I want to say, just make an impact on people's lives. I go back to one of my friends. I met him just looking at him, saying, hey, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Not knowing he's about to commit suicide. Obviously, do what I need to do, tell him my story, basically do what I need. What I need to do is just show love. So like I said, I'm thanking your guests for what he's doing, because everyone is scared of cancer. Cancer is no bigger than Christ. And if you're going to heaven, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal because, you know, whether you like it or not, 100% of the people on this planet are going to die. But if you know where you're going, it's not a big deal. Enjoy the journey and just make a difference in this world. Once again, I love your guests and I love what this station stands for, because we're very real, right? We're very real. This is not sugarcoating things. Love you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Io. Thank you. Appreciate that. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend at breakfast about 6 or 7 years ago. And he said that he had cancer, and it's a terminal form of cancer, but that it was in remission. It was diagnosed through a blood test. And he told me his story and wanted me to know firsthand that he had cancer. Obviously, I was shocked to hear the news, and you're wondering, how do I best respond and all of that. But I asked him straight out, I said, are you afraid? And he said, you know, I was initially, but I've come to the conclusion, kind of like what I was saying, every single one of us are going to die. And The fact is, it may be through a car accident later today, or, you know, a tragedy a month from now, or we may live another 20 or 30 years, but we're all in the process of dying. He said, it's just very likely because of this diagnosis that I'll die before you, but we're all going to die, so I've come to grips with that and said, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life as best I can. God's done an incredible work in his life. It eventually did kick into gear, and by God's grace, he's back in remission. So, you know, God's hand has been on that situation. But I loved hearing his heart. I loved being able to have a real conversation because I was kind of panicking. Like, I wasn't expecting that news. You know, we get together for breakfast quite a bit, and all of a sudden when a friend tells you they're dying of cancer, wow. But he, you know, Io mentioned the word real, and I think our hearts crave to have real conversations with people, right? And God forbid that the only time that happens is when we're talking about life and death issues. I got a text here. It says, and I apologize that I'm pretty sure I've only gotten two of the three pages of the text came in segments. And it says, it looks like it says the cancer will come back in 30 months. Or might have been told that the cancer will come back in 30 months, but we are praying that it will not. I'm feeling good now and go for monthly blood checks. My wife and daughter have been very supportive. So I don't know the whole situation because I don't know what the first text said. For whatever reason, the system didn't allow me to see the first text. But I take it it's a man because he's talking about his wife and daughter, saying that, you know, obviously some type of cancer that he's facing here and the possibility that it's going to come back. Let me ask you about that because we haven't really talked about it. You're a three-time cancer survivor, mm-hmm. Pastor Pat. And Michelle, with the diagnosis you were given, you're a miracle that you're here right now. What's it like to know that that question is always looming on the horizon? Will it come back? Will it kick back into gear? Will I be out of remission at some point? Mm-hmm. What's it like to live with that, with the possible, you know, reality hanging over your head? How do you deal with that?
The way that I look at things is in one way, and I'm just making sure that my life is right every day. I make sure that there's no unforgiveness in my heart, that I'm walking right with people, trying to be the best person that I can and staying out of sin if I can. And then it's all good because to live is in Christ, but to die is to go to Christ. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, my kids are still young.
How old are they?
I have a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old. But at this point, they know my heart. And they know if I were to go, they know all the things. So God has been so good to me. So good.
Can I ask you a very real question?
Sure.
When stuff happens like Christmas, does it occur to you that you want this to be the best Christmas it can possibly be because it could be the last? Which, I pray you have 50 more Christmases, all right? But we don't generally live that way. We never think about the reality that we could be gone tomorrow. And that horrible thing where you get a phone call and find out that a friend was killed in a car accident or something crazy. Mm. We should live differently. We should live with that reality in mind. But do you think you're a different person in that sense, making every moment count now that you've been through this?
Now, mine is not for Christmas. Mine's for today. Mm-hmm. I don't wait till Christmas. Everybody who knows me knows that today's the day. And I'm living today as if it's my last day. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure my kids know that every day counts. And all my friends and anybody who knows me, I have so much joy in my heart. And I have a lot of situations in life that could hold me back. But I've just chosen that, you know, my joy comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from my circumstances and where I am. And I'm just going to live life to its fullest until I'm not here to do that anymore. And that sets an example for my children that they are not going to count on this world to take care of them and make their happiness, mm-hmm. that it's going to come from God. And they know from the things I've walked through, that's where it's coming.
Amen. Pastor Pat, what about you?
Well said. Day to day. Yeah, you know, I'm pushing 69, Neil. I've got a lot of good years here, and I at this point in my life, I really don't fear death. I don't fear that at all. To live is Christ, to die is gain. About 6 months ago, I had a heart attack, of all things. I drove myself to the hospital, And they went crazy. You drove yourself here. You could have killed my grandson on the way. And I said, I didn't know I was having a heart attack. And they're rushing me through the hospital on this gurney. And I looked at the guy, this young guy, and I said, it's okay. It's okay. I kind of was going through my head, you know, checking things off and saying, this is okay. This is okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. If today's the day that the Lord wants me, I'm really, really okay. Like Michelle, I try to live my life every day okay. I'm okay with the Lord. I'm not going to leave any regrets. I'm not going to leave any bad conversations. Last Sunday I was preaching at Augustine's church, and I live right next to the church, and the parking lot's filling up with people. I ran over to the church and parked my car and ran around looking for my grandkids, because I go to church there. I gave them all a hug and said, Pop-Pop can't be here today, but I just want you to know I love you, and hop back in my car and left, because it's the day. Today's the day. And
right.
Making every day count and every moment count is, you know, one thing it does do is it just pulls you up straight and says, you know, here's the reality of life, and live it every day. Live it right.
Well, I said I commend you earlier. Let me say it again. Just grateful that you guys have taken your story and allowed it to be a blessing to others. And it's going to, I mean, this makes it permanent. You know, it's in a book form. Now the study guide is, of course, in the video that people can look at and benefit from and be blessed by. So I want to encourage you to check it out for yourself at bendintheroad.net. I also mentioned, and we mentioned earlier, that Pastor Pat's going to be teaching a Bible study that's open to anyone at Bender's Christian Supply starting next Thursday morning. So that would be October 5th or 6th or something like that.
I think it's the 5th.
Is it? Okay. In any case, first Thursday of October, this kicks off at Bender's Christian Supplies in Williamsville. October 6th. Thanks, Josh. So don't miss that opportunity. And check this out for yourself at bendintheroad.net. But as we get ready to conclude here, we obviously haven't covered everything that there is to say. So I just want to give each of you a final opportunity to just speak from your heart. You know, we've talked about a lot, but we haven't talked about everything. And you may have something on your heart or something you want to say to the folks that are listening that's not been covered. Mm-hmm. So what kind of final comment or word of encouragement would you leave us with?
You know, if you're sitting there, you're listening to us right now, and you've been diagnosed, or you know someone that's been diagnosed. Cancer is treatable. You know, there's always new treatments. It's treatable. It's curable. It can be cured. There's always hope. The greatest hope we have, though, is in Christ. If you're going through this without Christ, then you really are going through it alone. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you. And I don't understand, Neil. I can't fathom trying to go through this without a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
First time I had cancer is when I met Christ. It was through that I met Christ. Second time and the third time, I knew Christ, but I can't imagine going through without Christ. That's, to me, that's the ultimate cure, because we all are going to die, but we spend eternity either with Christ or without Christ. And my message is, make sure that your relationship with Christ is right. Make sure that you're walking with Him through all of this, because that's critical. He's your source of hope.
Yes, he is. Awesome. Michelle, what about you?
I think if you are just been freshly diagnosed, or you've been walking through this for a while, my main advice would be is I always had to have something to lean my hat on, right? Or put my hat on, however you want to say that. And grab yourself a verse. I'm going to really recommend that. I would post it all over my house and in my car and in my mirror. And I always had Psalm 118:17 that said that I shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. And what that meant for me is I was going to live, but I was going to walk this walk out to help others to see what I saw and what I walked through when I went through this most devastating time in my life, because I was never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want anyone to be alone, like Pastor just said. So find yourself a verse that'll remind you of that. Keep it with you wherever you go. and always know he's there. And if you can't remember, that verse is on your car or in your house.
That's a great idea and super practical as well. Hey, before I let you guys go, can I just pray for you and for the others that are listening? Lord, I just thank you for the chance we've had to talk about you in the midst of a storm. And in this case, the storm we were talking about was cancer. Thank you for preserving Pastor Pat's life. Three times a cancer survivor, including stage 4 cancer. Lord, you are an amazing God. And yet we don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us. No matter how healthy we think we may be, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. So, Lord, teach us to live in the moment and to be prepared at any time to tell others about you and to encourage them in their walk with you and to encourage them to make sure that we are walking with you, that we truly have a relationship with you. Thank you for the message and the hope that's found in this video and study guide curriculum here. Lord, I pray that it would draw people into a relationship with you who don't know you and encourage others in their faith if they do. But allow us to see you in the midst of the storm called cancer. Lord, life is filled with storms, and one of them is this horrible disease that takes so many lives. So, God, thank you that Pastor Pat has chosen to use this as a vehicle by which others can be encouraged. And I pray for Michelle, Lord. Thank you for sparing her life in the midst of the prognosis she was given. She truly is a miracle to be here. And you've preserved her life for a reason, and I believe for whatever reasons it was preserved, this was one of them, that she might be a light and a testimony and encouragement to others that are faced with a cancer diagnosis. I also pray for Tammy, Lord, whose story is told in this video series, and the others that they have spoken with and whose lives and stories are chronicled here. But, Lord, ultimately, we thank you for who you are and for how you shine through in every one of those stories. It's impossible to talk about what you've done in our lives without talking about you, because you are the center of our story. So God, I just pray that those who are listening right now, if they don't know you, would come to know you as Savior and Lord, would turn from sin and living life in a selfish and self-centered way and say, I can't live that way anymore. I want you in my story. I need you to walk with me through life's trials. And Lord, there are people faced with difficult marriages and overwhelming financial circumstances right now, relational problems, job-related things, all kinds of concerns, not just cancer. Maybe it's some other medical problem that's going on. And these things seem insurmountable, but Lord, you are bigger than all of them. And I just pray for your continued hand of blessing in Pastor Pat's life, Michelle's life, and the others involved in this series. Continue to use them to build your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for that Bible study when it starts at Bender's a week from Thursday, that it would be used powerfully in our community as a vehicle to present the hope that can be found in you. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to talk about it today, and for the callers, Lord, bless their lives. And for any right now faced with the diagnosis of cancer, we pray in Jesus' name for their healing. But God, I believe that healing should not just be physical, but spiritual as well. Mind, body, soul, spirit, the whole thing. We don't want people to just survive cancer and then spend eternity apart from you. Right. Lord, I pray that this cancer would be used to bring people into relationship with you. So we pray against cancer, but we also pray against the separation that exists because of our sin. And thank you that Jesus made it possible for us to know you and for us to walk in freedom. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came to give us life and life more abundant. So, Lord, I pray for spiritual and physical healing in the lives of those who are listening. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks for hanging with me.
Thank you very much, Neil. It's been great.
We really appreciate it. So God bless you, and let's keep in touch. Be happy to know what else God's doing in your lives in the future.
Thanks.
All right, thanks so much. Pastor Pat Kleitz and Michelle Becker, video and study guide curriculum put together called Life's Bend in the Road. Tammy Castellana helped write that as well. And you can learn more about it by going to bendintheroad.net.